Now? Okay. All right, very good. Proverbs 26, and we're going to get into lesson 83 and hopefully 84 this morning. And then we're moving along. We'll be at 100 before we know it, finishing up the last four or five chapters of this book. And, you know, I was going through Proverbs the other day again myself, and just looking at some things, and realized that there is so much. You know, you think of 100 lessons on wisdom out of the book of Proverbs, but that really, we've only scratched the surface. There's so much more in there, but don't worry, I'm not going to extend it, okay? We're gonna get on to another topic, but I hope in some way a lesson here or there along the way has been helpful to you. I know that some people have, you know, said that one, that was a blessing, and I hope it is. It may not be that every lesson is practical for you right now. I promise you that all these lessons will be practical at some point in your life, your marriage, your family, whatever. And so let's look at a couple more today, beginning with verse 17, chapter 26. I love this verse. I love the mind's eye picture when I read this verse right here, verse 17. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife, belonging not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. I love that. I love that because, you know, obviously this verse is pretty self-explanatory. Now, here's your lesson from verse 17. Living life wisely, lesson 83, is learning to stay out of matters that do not involve me. I guess a better way to put it is keep your nose out of other people's business, all right? That's a wise way to live. Man, it seems like every time you stick your nose in business that's not pertaining to you, you get bit. You know, you think of taking a dog by the ears. The mental picture that is drawn in my mind, you know, when I read that verse and using the dog there, you know, it gives clear meaning to me how foolish it is to involve yourself in matters that are none of your business. You know, we have a farmer neighbor where Ben and Luke have worked, the Lamberts. They're such good folks. I wish they'd get saved. They're very Catholic. But just good salt-of-the-earth people, hard-working people, honest folks, you know. And they have a dog named Max. I don't know if that was what prompted Hannah to name her boy Max or what, but old Max is an Australian Blue Heeler. He's one mean dog. Now, he's old now, and he can barely get along. Look, he has arthritis or something. I mean, he's hurting, but he can still put up a mean bark. He was one dog whose bite matched his bark. You heard of dogs? You know, all bark and no bite. My wife got bit by Max. Elizabeth Nemeth got bit by Max. I forget who else. There were two or three people that got bit by Max. Was terrible. He was rough. He come running out there in the road, man. He'd nip at the girls and the guys riding. When our kids were riding their bikes down the road, did the same to me. He had horror in my kids. Now the thing I would do when I used to run and jog, you know. I would get to Max's house, and the game I played was trying to get by the house if Max was sleeping, trying to get by the house without him hearing me. And I was successful about once. That's all. You know, just successful. You might get by, but coming back, you know, and he'd be sound asleep. And the next thing I know, man, he'd be wide awake and running out there. And I mean, he nipped at me. He bit my pants. I mean, he was that kind of dog. And you talk to the neighbors about it, they just laugh. It's always the funniest thing in the world. But anyway, when I read that verse right there, I think of Max asleep, and I think of what would happen if I walked up to Max when he was dead asleep, you know, and just grabbed him by the ears and shook him real good, you know. And that's the mental picture that I got when I read that verse right there. You know, how foolish it is to involve yourself in matters that are none of your business. Spurgeon said this. He said, blessed are the peacemakers, but very far from blessed are the meddlers. I like what he said. Very far from blessed are the meddlers. And basically, this is what this verse is teaching. It's very foolish to meddle into other folks' business when it doesn't pertain to us. Now, how does this apply? Well, occasionally someone might come to you in need of encouragement or advice on a particular matter. You know, to attempt to help them is proper and good. Remember the little statement, though, that we made with another lesson? Unsought advice is seldom followed and usually resented. Unsought advice is seldom followed and usually resented. Sometimes parents will call me and they want me to talk to their married kids. You know, can you go see them? Can you tell them a little bit? I'll tell them, you know, hey, unsought advice is seldom followed. usually resent it. Normally, I won't do that. I just don't do that as a matter of rule, okay? So that's a good thing to remember. Other times, people will come. They'll ask maybe for some advice or some help. Maybe they need a shoulder to cry on. That's all fine and good. But to take the initiative to involve yourself when not asked, or after you've been, you know, after somebody's confided in you, to take that matter to others, involving them when there's no need, is not a wise way to live. All right? It's a very foolish way to live. And in the end, you stand a good chance of getting bitten. Just like if you pass by and take a dog by the ears. You stand a good chance of getting bitten and wish to high heavens you stayed out of the problem. You know, I've heard this over and over again. It very well could be that a nephew or a niece, a younger brother or sister, I don't know if we have that case anymore in this class, you know, but a younger brother or sister may show up at your door someday, or they may phone you asking if they can come live with you, you know, and Uncle so-and-so or Aunt so-and-so, and there's going to be a tale of mistreatment and sorrow like you have never heard. Can I make a little suggestion? Unless there has been physical or sexual abuse, don't open your home to nephews and nieces and even younger brothers and sisters that are having problems with the parents. Unless there's been physical or sexual abuse. Nine times out of ten, look, the strife began between them and it should end between them. And nine times out of ten, them running to somebody else and somebody else taking them in for the purpose of helping them is only going to make matters worse. Only going to double and triple the problem. So be wise about it. You know, you say, man, how do you say no to your nephew? How do you say no to your niece? You know, how do you say no? Sometimes it won't be related. Sometimes it will be teenagers in the church who've had a falling out with their parents and feel like, you know, they're friends enough with you that they want to call and, can I move in with you? Can I stay with you for a few days? You know, first thing you need to do is get on the phone and call their mom and dad. Call the dad, call the mom. Don't ever just take kids in on their story. Never just do that, friend. That's very, very dangerous. You know, normally there's a problem between them, mom and dad, whoever. It began there. It needs to end there. And sometimes people will justify, you know, taking kids in by saying, well, you know, it's better for the child to stay with me than to go over to a friend's house. Let me tell you what's better for the child. It's better for the child to go home. Okay? That's what's better for the child to do. You want to help the child? If they're at a gas station or a convenience store, some friend's house needing a place to stay, pick them up, take them home. Okay? That's the best thing to do for that child. Get things squared away there with their, you know, if their parents. Now, if your brother or sister calls, you know, and ask you, hey, could my son come stay with you? Could my daughter come stay with you for a few days? I think it would be good. That's a different matter. I'm talking about when the child initiates, okay? If same thing if a wife or a husband calls and they want to separate from their wife or their husband, unless there's physical abuse, I would be very careful about involving myself in that matter. Nine times out of ten, it doesn't solve anything. It just complicates the matter worse. You follow biblical wisdom. Stay out of situations that do not directly involve you. That's the Bible. That's the Bible way, the wise way. You know, everybody, all of us, to a degree, everybody has inside of us the desire to be the hero. You know, we want to ride in on the white horse, you know, in the shining armor and be the one to solve the problem, you know. And, you know, that's fairy tale material. That's what that is. That's fairy tale material. And so be careful about it. And the same thing, like I said, involves, a principle applies to friends having a conflict in the marriage. Unless there is physical abuse, don't involve yourself. Don't involve yourself. You know, if you've got a close friend and they need a shoulder to cry on and they do it confidentially, don't take it to anybody else. Don't take it to, you know, guess who was here, man, guess what's that? Can you believe they're having trouble? Call their mom, call their dad. Call the, not wise, folks. It just, you know, problems don't get solved by spreading them out. Problems get solved when they're confined and take, you know, remember the old days when they used to quarantine people? You know, because they had an infection or some sickness that was deadly, they used to quarantine them. You know, it's the same way, same thing with strife. Same thing with problems in a marriage relationship. Boy, the closer that thing can be kept between husband and wife and solved, the quicker to be solved. When it gets spread out over places, it just increases the difficulty in trying to solve it. trying to solve it. So, you know, a lot of times the justification is, well, I just think somebody should know, and I just think somebody should help. You know, well, nine times out of ten. I'm leaving a little room for exception here, but nine times out of ten, the best thing to do is just stay out of it. And if somebody shares a burden with you, cries on your shoulder, keep it close. Keep it real, real close, okay? You know, and some of these days, you know, God forbid, but, you know, your kids, my kids, I got two kids married now. This hasn't happened. But boy, God forbid that a child should call up someday, you know, having a problem in their marriage, and you encourage them unless there's physical abuse. Now, if there's somebody getting smacked around, there's no cause for that. No cause for that whatsoever. But if it's just a problem, I'd be real careful about taking my daughter in. Be real careful about that. Okay? This separation thing, nine times out of ten, doesn't solve anything, folks. Does not help. Okay? So be real careful. When you get older, when your kids get married, you know, your daughter may call someday and, you know, if there's not physical abuse, be very careful. Be very careful. Now, if there's physical abuse, sure, you got to get involved. Okay? Let the strife in. You know, I know situations where daughter's in a conflict with husband. Daughter calls mom and dad. Daughter gets mom and dad involved unwittingly. You know, she unloads, okay? And after she unloads, she thinks to herself, you know, I wish I hadn't said anything. Well, mom and dad are off and running. And now they corner husband, you know, son-in-law, and nail him. And guess what their daughter does? Their daughter defends her husband. And turns on the parents and says, keep your nose out of my, you know, and now let me ask you something. Is that better or worse? We're worse. That's what normally happens. Okay, the knight in shining armor riding in to solve all the problems, that's fairy tale. It happens about 1% of the time. So the wise way to live is keep your nose, even in family matters, keep your nose out of other people's business. There's a reason that verse is in the Bible. God didn't run out of things to say and just create something to take up space. If you pass by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him. Look, as a pastor, sometimes I get called in. Marriage problems and stuff like that. Parent-child problems. I'll be like, you know what I do? There are times when all I do is sit down and give. I say, okay, we're going to let you talk for a while and you're not going to interrupt. And then we're going to let you talk for a while and you're not going to interrupt. You know, nine times out of ten, you can't get through a conversation without each other interrupting each other. You just need a little bit of a referee, you know. So, you know, the guy at Old Country Buffet, you know, Ira was there. He called me the other day. What was the problem? I want to hear your side of the story. He let me get two sentences out, you know, and then he interrupted me. So, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, usually that doesn't happen, you know. So here you go. You got husband and wife sitting here. And so I said, I went to their house. I said, okay, you're going to talk for a while, you're not going to interrupt. Then you're going to talk for a while, you're not going to interrupt. And I sat there. He talked. I said, okay, your turn. She talked. I looked at them both and I said, you know what? This argument's going to go on as long as y'all want it to. You can continue it or you can stop it. Now, I'm not going to say who's right, who's wrong. Both of you are right, both of you are wrong. You're grown adults. Now the strife started between you, end it. I said, see you later. God bless you. Got my coat and left. Okay? And you know what? Things worked out. That's right. Things worked out. Now, sometimes that's what needs to happen. Okay? When you pass by and involve yourself in strife that doesn't belong to you, it's like taking a dog by the ears. Keep your nose out of people's business. You know, listen to me. In my place here in this church, all kind of things pass through my office. You'd be shocked how little I involve myself in. How little I involve myself in. I'm just not going to. You know, I'm just not. If it's a matter of somebody getting killed, of course. But the best thing to do is to stay out of people's problems. Let them work it out, okay? And especially if you're not invited. Don't invite yourself. He that turneth, living life wisely is learning to stay out of matters that do not involve me. If you pass by and meddle, it's like taking a dog by the ears. You get that picture someday, okay? Get that picture. I mean, even the most passive of dogs wouldn't appreciate being shaken by their ears, all right, and so forth. All right, now, lesson number 84 is found in verse 26, and then we're done with chapter 26, moving on next week to chapter 27. Whose hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness shall be showed. Oh, man, you know what? It's 20 till. Let me start it. I'll go for 5 minutes. Whose hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Living life wisely realizes how wicked it is to practice deceit. Doesn't that word just sound satanic? Deceit. Deceit is akin to being satanic. Deceit has been a tool of Satan against humans for all of time. And for humans to fall into being deceitful is to be like Satan. Now, the truth of the matter is, the potential to be deceitful is in every one of our hearts. Mark chapter 7, verses 21 and 22, Jesus himself identified deceit as being in the heart of man. So the potential to be deceitful is in me. The potential to be deceitful is in you. All right? But being deceitful is one of the most satanic, wicked things that you can do. The wise man condemns covering hatred with deceit. Now, notice what he said. Covering hatred with deceit. By that, he means covering hatred for a particular person by professing friendship with them. All right? This would include using friendliness to lure them into a situation where they are hurt. Believe me, that goes on. People lure folks deceitfully into a situation for the express purpose of hurting them. Now, that's deceit. That's hatred covered by deceit. You see what he's saying there? That's despicable. It's satanic. There was a missionary years ago, 1960. His name was Don Richardson. He went out to a place called Irianjaya at the time. It was one of the islands over there around New Guinea and Indonesia, that area. He wrote a book. He's got a couple of books out. You may have read them, called Lords of the Earth and Peace Child. Incredibly interesting missionary books. If you like missionary stories, and you enjoy, you want something very interesting, go on Amazon.com or something. Look up Lords of the Earth and the book Peace Child. I'm telling you, they're fascinating books. That's two different books, isn't it, Ben? Yeah, I thought so. I read both of them. Two different books. Fantastic. He started working with these tribes where really in 1960 they were like Stone Age people. They didn't have tools and weapons made of iron. They had tools and weapons made of stone. This is 1960. This is how backwards it was. They believed, listen to this, that treachery was man's highest virtue. Treachery was man's highest virtue. And so any despicable acts of treachery were to them the highest virtue you could possess. Don Richardson moved in and he started working with this tribe trying to bring the gospel to them. You're talking about people. He had to go back to the very beginning of Genesis 1:1 and establish God, the existence of God with them. There was a little river there, and up the river was another tribe, and those tribes began to war with each other. And what happened was, this one tribe up the river, they lured a man from the tribe that Don Richardson was working in. They lured him into a friendship. And they had him come up there, and they took him into their village, and they prepared delicious meals for him. And they would ask him, how do we solve this conflict between our village and yours? And he would talk, and oh, they would say, that's the smartest thing in the world. He would go back, and they invited him up, and they would put these feasts on. And the man, when he first went, he was very wary. He was very suspicious. But the longer this went on, the more comfortable he felt with these people. And they really convinced him that this was a genuine effort at peace, and you are our friend, and you are the only hope, you are the only emissary for peace between our two tribes. And they invited him back for another one of those feasts. And he became the main dish. They killed him, cut him up, and roasted him and ate him. And to them, that was the apex of virtue. Treachery is man's highest virtue. Now, friend, listen to me. Understand something. What was in the heart of those native people is in your heart and in my heart. It may not be carried out to that extreme, but the ability, the potential to be that way is within every one of us. And I'm going to tell you what brings it about, and I'll finish up next week. You don't jump from where you are right now into this kind of behavior, but what happens is hatred gets into your heart, and if it's never dealt with, that's the potential. It may not be carried out to that extreme, but that potential is in your heart, especially if you've got anger and hatred against somebody and you never deal with it. Okay? And that's what this verse is talking about. When you cover hatred by deceit, you're living a very dangerous and foolish life. I'll finish that next week. If you like missionary books, Peace Child, Lords of the Earth. That story is in the book Peace Child. Okay? Might be in the book Lords of the Earth, too. You'd enjoy it. All right. See you downstairs. We'll get into that next week.